Blog Talk Radio.
How great. One more time, just raise your hands as high as you can in this place, everybody.
Just lift your voice and say, how great is our God. Say with me, how great is our God. Show me how great is our God.
All right, good evening and welcome to Perspective Insight. You are live with your host, Apostle Lasandra J. Hardy, right here on Legacy Libra Worldwide Radio, Empower Radio like no other. I want to say thank you to all my listeners and those who continue to support me near and far and nationally and internationally. I'm just continuing to watch how this online program continues to grow and how God continues to bless. I'm telling you, it's amazing. When you trust God, you may not understand everything. All the pieces to the puzzle may not be all together, but trust God and lean not to what you think ought to be done or how you think it ought to be done, but trust in Him, knowing that He got you covered, knowing that He'll direct your path. So this is Perspective Insight, where we take another look at kingdom principles. Amen. We take a deeper look at the scripture. We count on God and rely on God for revelation. But before I do anything, I've got to pray. So God, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you on tonight as we get ready to start this online Bible study. Lord God, open our ears, open our eyes, give us wisdom, give us insight, give us new direction, give us fresh revelation, Lord God, as to continue to learn about you. Spirit of truth, we thank you on tonight. We thank you that you're speaking. We thank you that you're imparting wisdom. We thank you for growing us up so that we can be able to eat the meat. Amen. That we will be able to digest what you give us. Not only that, but we will move upon that word. Amen. God, I thank you for every listener. I thank you, Lord God, for those that are listening by online radio as well as Facebook Live. Lord God, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, to be used and to bring forth a word. You be glorified in all that I do. Now, thank you, Lord God, any ears that are listening tonight that do not know Jesus Christ, I thank you. They will be saved as a result of listening tonight. If they have strayed away, Lord God, there is no hell that they are in that your love will not reach them. I thank you for your love that is unconditional, Lord God, and that reaches us even in our weakest point, our weakest moment. I thank you. Your love is unconditional. Your forgiveness is without end. Your grace and your mercy keeps us from day to day. So God, we thank you, Lord God, as we study on tonight. May we continue to be encouraged. May we continue to be empowered. May we continue to be equipped and restored, revitalized, and then catapulted out, Lord God, to continue to be a light and witness for the living word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so again, I am on live radio, so I got listeners that have called in and listening by radio, as well as I'm on Facebook Live tonight. All right, so we're going to get right into the word. Amen. So many of you, we are on part two of Job, the book of Job. Amen. And so, again, I did this or presented this last week as a court case. And so I need people to come back on in court. Amen. I see you, my teacher friend, Miss Karina Christmas. All right. I see you. Amen. Joy in the Journey, Minister Venice. I see you on tonight. God is good. Remember, make sure you follow my show. Share the radio show at www.blogtalkradio.com/ Legacy-Lever. Amen. I am all about leaving that legacy that will continue to share the voice of the kingdom principles to 3 and 4 generations beyond my own self. Amen. All right, so we know, as a quick review, and then we're going to get right into Job, and I believe I'm going to pick up on Job 34. Amen. All right, so we've been hearing Job. We've been hearing about the stories of Job. We've been reading Job. But as I presented it last week and Holy Spirit gave me wisdom and insight into this, I saw it as a court case. I saw it as being in an open arena or in a courtroom. As we studied, we saw that Job was a very rich and wealthy man. He had many camels and goats and sheep and earth. His family was blessed. We understand that he was one of the wealthiest men in us at his time. And so we know that Job he was not poor. He was not broke. He was just getting by or getting over. He was very wealthy. He had great influence. He was a stamina of his community. He was a man of integrity. We even understood that last week when we read that he had a banquet, and he said after the banquet, he ended up, you know, doing a sacrifice to purge his children, just in case his children did something in their heart that wasn't right, that they were covered. So we understood that Job was a great covering. He was a great protector. He was a leader and a man. He was a king and priest in his home. He loved his wife. He covered her. So everybody was taken care of. He had servants that were wealthy. Amen. And so, you know, he was very wealthy. He was a businessman. He was also a person of the law, not just keeping the law, but he also understood or had the characteristics of being able to write a argument. To write an argument. And so we understand that Job was a man of great caliber at his time. Amen. So this all happened, if you read through Job like 1 through the beginning of 2021, that Job, his life, how it started, how you know, God was recognizing him, but also Satan was recognizing him. You've got to be of some great, great stamina and great power and great influence when Satan is looking back and you have Satan's attention. He said, you know, he went and we recognize that the counsel of God came to meet with God, but Satan was also with what? The counsel of God or the sons of God. So it said the counsel came, but we also know that it was the what? The sons of God, and Satan came with them. Satan came with them to meet with God. And so he said, here go God. He says, what are you doing? Satan, what are you doing? What are you up to? What's going on? He said, I've been going back to and fro. I'm watching everything. What's going on? And here goes God. Have you considered my servant Job? Have you inquired about him? And Satan says, you know, yeah, I have. I've been watching him. The man is prosperous and everything that he does is wealthy. Everything he touches, it prospers, but I can't touch him. I'm watching him prosper in my face, and I cannot touch him because you protect and cover everything that he does. Can you imagine you have such great influence and wealth and such great a relationship with the Lord to the point that everything that you do and everything you touch and everything you have is covered, and it causes Satan to sit back and watch, but he can't touch you. Watch him, but he said, I can't touch him. You got a hedge of protection around him in his hand. But I tell you what, if you mess around and take and kill all his possessions, I bet you he'll curse you to your face and die. So we learned about that this thing happened twice. So once he had a conversation with God, Satan had a conversation with God, then they made a deal on the table. Can you imagine catastrophe is happening to Job because a deal was made on the table between God and Satan? Satan and God had a conversation and a deal was made. But God said, you can take all of his possessions, you can kill them all, but do not harm him. Do not bring any harm on Job. So we read that, then we went and they had another meeting. So it was two deals on the table. But what happens when that second deal don't end right away? What happens? Not only did you lose your possessions, he lost his sons and daughters, he lost his servants, he lost his livestock. What happens when you have your mate that ends up telling you to curse God and die because she's not used, his wife was not used to being broke, his wife was not used to all the catastrophe, his wife didn't even recognize who her husband was. The Bible even talked about his breath would begin to smell, his body was smelling because he was what? He was sick. He ended up having boils on his body. So he was going through stuff that he had never experienced before. But at first, he didn't curse God. He said, okay, what good is it if you give me those things? And then, you know, if I lose them, does that change who God is? So he still worshiped God. But what happens when we're in stuff a little bit too long, or we feel that it's a little bit too long for us? Will we be able to still confess that God is God, regardless of the situations that's going on? Or will we end up becoming judgmental? So as we continue to read and we see that his friends begin to talk about God and Job and say, look, you must have did something. And Job kept saying, I'm innocent. I haven't done anything. I'm standing my ground. I'm defending myself. I am innocent before the Lord. And his three friends begin to say things like, you've had to do something. We don't even know what to say, because we know when they first saw Job, they couldn't even recognize who he was. They know that they just sat with him for what, 7 days and seven nights. They didn't say a word. They just watched him suffer. They just watched him go through, and they didn't say a word. But then we have his three friends, Eliphaz. Eliphaz was the first one to speak and break his silence and said, look here, I don't know what's going on with you, but you must have did something wrong. Then we have Bildad to come after Eliphaz. Then we had Bildad, and we had what? Zophar, that spoke against the things that God was doing. And they said, you must have done something wrong. Job, what you're a good man. You defended the poor. You gave to the poor. You clothed the naked. You fed people that were hungry. You're a great pillar in your community. You have a good heart. How in the world is all this calamity and catastrophe coming on you, and you talking about you innocent? You crazy. And so Job begins to start listening to his friends, actually, because the thing was, now Job is not recognizable. He's going through a lot of stuff. He done lost everything. His wife has even turned against him, turned against God, told him to curse God. Don't you just curse God and die. All right. I believe she was not only upset and angry, but she was fearful, because if you've never been through anything like that and you have it in your mind that you're set for life, and all of a sudden all of this happens and you're like, well, how in the world could a God so gracious and so good and so loving allow this thing to happen? So she spoke, I believe, out of her emotions and out of what she was experiencing. She was experiencing calamity. She just lost all her kids too. It wasn't just Job that lost his children. It was her. They lost their family, their service. Everything that Job had was now lost. And now her husband is ill and failing health. And she's like, why are you still recognizing God? Now you got friends that got to talk. Now you got friends like, okay, something you did, let's go revisit this case. It's something. We're going to write up our statement, and we're going to present it to you. So come on, let's go back into court. Amen. So now we have the three friends that then spoke out. And every time that one of them spoke, Job would reply. He would reply back. He would reply with his argument back. So there was arguments going back and forth, cases going back and forth, between his three friends and him. Now, one thing Job was not a weakling. I know a lot of things have been taught over the years because of Job's sickness. I thought that in my earlier years that Job was just a sick man that got, you know, God tested and to see if, you know, he was going to be integrous or not. I didn't know that Job, once his friends would answer, he would answer back. So Job was a strong man. He still was a strong man that had a lot of mouth. He had a lot of confidence in what he was talking about. Like, look, okay, you presented your case, but I'm going to present my case back. So Job was one that knew how to write. He knew how to eloquently speak. He was very profound and prolific and what he did, and he would present his case, and he would still defend himself, saying, I am one that I am innocent. So we know that Job, through the first 32 chapters, was the 32 chapters of Job that was defending his case. He was letting his friends know, I'm innocent. And what ended up happening was Job ended up becoming a disgrace. No longer is he a pillar of his society, but now he's a disgrace to society. No one can recognize him. They calling him foolish. They're saying that, you know, you got to be cursed, Job. It's something that you did or something in your bloodline that has happened that has brought on this catastrophe. You were rich yesterday. How in the world in 24 hours can you be broke? How in the world in 36 hours could you have all of these ailments in your body? How is it you done lost all your kids? You know what? Stay away from me, because whatever you got, I don't want to get. Have you ever been through something, or God has put you through, I don't want to say God put you through something, but have you ever been through something? You know God is in the midst, but things are happening and you don't understand why. Have you ever questioned God to the point you're angry with God? And that's what ended up happening with Job. Job got to the point, he's like, look, it seems like the wicked, because he presented his case to God. He told, it had gotten to the point where he was so frustrated. He was like, my argument is not with you. My argument is not with my three friends. It's not with my wife. It is not with my family. It is now with God. Because now Job's influence is gone. His stamina, who he was in the society, was gone. The weak presented his cases. Everybody was telling him he was foolish. So what happens when what you were doing, what you were so good at, what you were influential in, every time you would speak, what happens when people used to listen to your voice? They couldn't wait. They waited with bated breath on the next precipice of your word. What happens when that is gone? What happens when you have no more influence? What happens when nobody is listening to you any longer and you have no control over it? What happens when nobody's following you? You don't have no more followers on Instagram. What happens when your audience that used to watch you on Facebook Live no longer wants to see or hear from you? What happens when your voice is gone? What happens when your influence is gone and you can't explain and you steady telling people, I am innocent. I didn't do anything. I didn't do it. What's going on? I don't know what's going on. I'm just as baffled as you are, but I still want to serve God. But what happens when your friends lead you to a place where you begin to doubt and become angry in your heart towards the one that has created you? And that's what happened with the statements and the cases of his friends that drew Job away from God's heart, and he began to look at the people around him, and he began to say to the people, like, wait a minute, God, well, he began to say to God, wait a minute, why is it that I see the wicked prospering? Why is it that I see the wicked prospering? Why is it that I see the wicked seem like you don't deal with them, God? How is it that they getting away with stuff? How is it that they're moving? He even said this. He said, they move the border mark and take more land from the innocent people. They take bribes under the table. I've always been innocent. I do things by the book. What happens when you do everything by the book, but calamity still hits your life? Can you still claim that God is God? Or will you end up becoming argumentative against God? Uh-oh. Can we come down that lane? Come on, somebody. Can we just be real? And all of a sudden, you start seeing the folk that work witchcraft and do all kinds of stuff, and they don't never go to church. They don't pay their tithe. They tell you they don't pay their tithe. They put a dollar in the basket, but yet and still a door opens for them to be able to get blessed with a good job or get blessed with a good thing. They're still prospering. They're still doing well. You go to the doctor and get a diagnosis that you got cancer, and the person that's smoking every day and doing crazy stuff and they high all the time ends up with a great liver and a great heart and great lungs. You go, then you end up with lung cancer because of secondhand smoke. You didn't even do anything. Can you still maintain that God is God? Or you end up becoming judgmental like Job did. Job began to complain, and he began to look at the folk around him that seemed to be getting away with stuff, and he was like, why, God, would you pay attention to the wicked? Why are you paying? What's the point in me serving you if I'm going to have to keep going through all this stuff? And I'm looking and I'm seeing the wicked get away with stuff. I'm seeing them continuing to live and the innocent dying. I continue to see them throw parties, lavish parties, and party all the time. And they have all kinds of things, doing all kinds of ungodly stuff. And here I am trying to live godly before you. I even purge my children. I even cover them. I pray over them. I even have them at the altar today. And I was a man of great stamina. Why are you paying so much attention to them? Why are you blessing them? They ought to be the ones that's going through what I'm going through. They ought to be the ones that are losing stuff like I've lost stuff. What? So Job got into a place